let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the Apostle Paul, of instructions, and on the surface they sound wonderful and great, but when we try to really live them out and apply them, we realize how challenging they are. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A very wise person once said, "It's not what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but what you have in your heart." Thankfulness could well be the finest sentiment of people, and also the rarest. Elsie Janis wrote the following poem entitled, "Thank God That I'm Me." When my luck seems all out and I'm down in the mouth, when I'm stuck in the north and I want to go south, when the world seems a blank and there's no one I love, and it seems even God's not in heaven above, I've a cure for my grouch, and it works like a shot. I just think of the things I am glad I am not. A bird in a cage, a fish in a bowl, a pig in a pen, a fox in a hole, a bear in a pit, a wolf in a trap, a fowl on a spit, a rug on a lap, a horse in a stable, a cow in a shed, a plate on a table, a sheet on a bed, the case on a pillow, a bell on a door, a branch on a willow, a mat on the floor. When I think of the hundreds of things I might be, I get on my knees and thank God that I'm me. Then my blues disappear when I think what I've got, and quite soon I've forgotten the things I have not. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are radical words from the Apostle Paul. Who can always be joyful? Who can pray constantly? And who can feel gratitude in every situation? The truth is, none of us is up to these challenges. We are joyful when we feel like it. We pray irregularly often, and we are grateful in many ways, but not all. You and I may desire to be more constant in prayer and gratitude, yet our failures are more constant than our successes. When we look at these biblical instructions, we might begin to ask ourselves, is Christian living unrealistic and elusive? Is more being asked of us than we can deliver? Matthew Henry, the late 17th and early 18th century biblical scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his wallet. He wrote the following words in his diary: "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they did take my wallet, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not someone else." Finding joy and gratitude in times of trouble is not always easy. Paul himself sought a solution to the tendency of not finding gratitude in every situation. His answer was that this was each of a demand of God, but yet with each demand of God, there were resources of God that were ready and available for us. The demand in this instance is to give thanks always and for everything. And the resources available is the grace of God, grace that inspires this very gratitude. The early church theologian Augustine articulated Paul's thinking by saying these words: God gives what God commands. God expects, but God likewise enables. If the requirement is great, equally great and wholly sufficient are the loving help and power of God. A seemingly impossible expectation, like giving thanks in all circumstances, turns out to be the entirely appropriate response. In Daniel Defoe's novel, Robinson Crusoe, when the character was wrecked on his lonely island, he drew up two columns of what he called the evil and the good. And I want to read that list to you. He was cast on a desolate island, but he was still alive, not drowned as his ship's company was. He was apart from human society, but he was not starving. He had no clothes, but he was in a hot climate where he did not need them. He was without means of defense, but he saw no wild beast such as he had seen on the coast of Africa. He had no one to whom to speak, but God had sent the ship near to the shore that he could get out of it all the things necessary for his basic wants. So he concluded that there was not any condition in the world so miserable but that one could find something for which to be grateful. In a desperate situation, thankfulness was realized and expressed. Such radical behavior is decidedly relational. To experience true gratitude is to be vitally related to that which inspires it. When the Apostle Paul said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father," he was talking the language of relationships. Expressing gratitude signifies bonds and ties and links with all that prompts such thankfulness. Gratitude is firmly rooted in a divine and human relationship. For we read in the Psalms, "My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Because of our relationship with God, our lifestyle becomes one of grateful and humble appreciation. We can heed Paul's instruction when he said, "Let there be thanksgiving." We can sing with honest feeling, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Because our relationship with God prompts us toward joyful and prayerful thanksgiving. To say that gratitude is relational is to acknowledge blessings from beyond ourselves. Someone wisely has written the following: "When you say to me, 'Thank you,' remember I could not have done for you what I did had it not been for what hundreds of other people have done for me. Neither could they have done for me what they did had it not been for what thousands of other people had done for them." And so the thing goes on in infinite time and space. Therefore, when you say, "Thank you," you really mean to say, "Thank you, God." The relational nature of gratitude was understood by President Abraham Lincoln, who at a Thanksgiving time cautioned that we not forget. For as he said, "The gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied, enriched, and strengthened us." Lincoln worried that too many among us have, quote, "vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own," end quote. His sad appraisal was that we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God who made it. The weight of these remarks calls us to self-examination and intensifies that relational meaning of gratitude. We not only are thankful for something, but are thankful to someone. And God is that someone, of course. God is the one to whom our thanksgivings are raised. All praise points to God's direction. Radical gratitude is like that, prompting us to be thankful to God, whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the directions from which we come. One of the ironies of our American celebration of Thanksgiving at this present time is that God is less and less the center of it. God has tended to be edged out. Our culture uses the word Thanksgiving and indeed lists many things for which it is grateful. But grateful to whom? No source is given, at least openly and publicly. How deep, then, can this attitude be? How lasting can it be? It is like fruits without roots. We need to change this. We need to recover this season as a time of identifying life and its gifts from God. The relational dimension of gratitude deserves renewed and prominent attention. We may be in the season to think of things, of these things, for today being the Sunday before the national holiday that's set aside to give thanks. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But beyond a day or even a season is the lifetime that is ours. Every day, for all the days of our lives, we need to give thanks in all circumstances. May we be inspired to do so as God's children. And as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving, I leave with you this poem by Helen Steiner Rice entitled, "Fill Your Heart with Thanksgiving." Take nothing for granted, for whenever you do, the joy of enjoying is lessened for you. For we rob our own lives much more than we know when we fail to respond or in any way show our thanks for the blessings that daily are ours. The warmth of the sun, the fragrance of flowers, the beauty of twilight, the freshness of dawn, the coolness of dew on a green velvet lawn, the kind little deeds so thoughtfully done, the favors of friends, and the love of someone. Unselfishly give us a myriad of ways, expecting no payment and no words of praise. Oh, great is our loss when we no longer find a thankful response to things of this kind. For the joy of enjoying in the fullness of living are found in the heart that is filled with thanksgiving. May our hearts be filled with thanksgiving today, this week especially, but all of every day of our lives. And may it not just be thanksgiving to express thanks to just out in the air, but to focus our gratitude to God, especially for all of our blessings, but also to one another as we are blessed by our presence. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have given us all things. You have given us minds for thinking, hearts for feeling, and a soul for connecting with you. We are thankful for the blessing of material things, as well as for family and friends. We are more thankful for the gift of life, which, in your grace, you have given us so that we may be in relationship with you. May we not sacrifice our souls to what is plentiful on this earth, but to your call for our ministry together. Thanks be to you, O Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.